Today's Mishnah in Masechet Olot is Mishnah Perek Tet Zayin, Mishnah Dalet. So we've been talking about how it is that you have to search an area where you found three bodies to make certain that it's not an extended Chatzer Kvarot. And that would mean you'd have to check even for 20 amos in order to make certain that you haven't missed the most far-flung body in Kuch C on the diagonal from the Kuch A on the other side. So what does that mean? Does that mean that you have to check every last bit? No. First of all, you need to take into consideration that you know for sure that the single amma next to a body that's found, if it is properly buried, will not have a mace in it because they always kept one amma between one mace and the next. So therefore, do not start with the next amma. Start with the amma after that amma. And then you're bodek an amma al amma. So you dig out a one by one area. You leave over the next amma. If there was something or wasn't something, you always skip every other, because if it was correct that your original find was correct and it was a chatzer kvaris, so then you know that even if no one was buried in Kuch A, someone may be buried in Kuch B. If nobody's buried in Kuch B, somebody may be buried in Kuch C, and so on. But nobody's going to be buried between the Kuchim, and because of that, you understand that the proper places for the maze is plot A, Amma, plot B, Amma, plot C, Amma. So always leave an Amma, Miniach Amma, and you continue doing that, because there's always an Amma without a burial area between the ones that you've established are correct kvarot. And how deeply do you have to dig? You have to dig atru magia l'sela or l'betula. Either you've reached actual bedrock, in which case it's clear nobody dug here, and with no way we burn a maze in the rock that is bedrock. And or if you find karka betula that's never been dug up, and Barnea will be happy to tell us how we can establish if an area is karka betula or not, or whether he just keeps going until you reach the bedrock. And at that point, we know that there's no body. Now, the question is, of course, it would not be too bright for Barnea to do stuff like that, because Barnea is a Kohen, and Kohanim cannot sit around looking for bodies unless they're pretty stupid. So since
today's our anniversary of Avoda and of Tuma and all those issues, the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, today's the anniversary of keeping those things. Right? Shmona Parshas Nilma Bodah,
very good. Okay, Eser Atarot. Very good. All right. So how about, since a coin might be stupid, what would happen if a Kohen actually does do this badika here? So, amotziyat ha'afar, mimkom tuma. So, suppose a Kohen went ahead and he takes afar out of a place where it says makom tuma, it means not that it's vadai tomei, obviously. He's taking it from a place that needed checking. So, he's moving the wheelbarrows. So far, we haven't found anything. So, if we don't find anything, ochel bedim'o, he is allowed to continue eating his truma and assume that because he has a cheskes kashrus, he has not yet become tomei. So even though maybe as he goes on to the next amma al amma and the next amma al amma, he may eventually turn out that the entire area where he was actually part of a chatzer hakvaros and he wasn't tahor anymore. Until that point, he is considered to be tahor. How about where a kohen was mefakeach bagal? If he was clearing away a collapsed building, then over there, as soon as he starts, we have to assume that the person, we know someone was caught under the collapse, we have to assume that the guy died, and in that case, eno ochel bedimo, is not allowed to eat, because most of the time, people are killed under that type of collapse, and because of that, we're machmir to say that he was mahil over the mace. Perek Tetzayin Mishnah Hei. Now, continuing on for this bedika, how far do you need to make this bedika? Suppose you're checking and you hit a stream, higelanacha, or you reach a place where there is an irrigation ditch that was dug there, or you're on a public highway. At that point, you're mafsik, and you do not have to worry that there are kvarim over there, because that's not the norm obviously, to bury people under such locations, and anything that went ahead and built these kind of things anyway would have removed whatever quarries there are. Now, what is the din about the tfusa? So we spoke about cases up until now where you found a mace or two maces, and you would have to remove the body together with the tfusa, which we said was the earth that might have absorbed fluids from the mace. But this is not an actual chiyuv under all circumstances. Let's imagine where you've got a killing field. Sadesh nehergu baharugim. You stumble upon a killing field. It's like a battlefield. So malakit etzem v'akol tohor. That is not considered to be a place that is mechayev you to rebury the mesim that were just found on the ground. It's only a din when they were properly kavur. So let's say you find like a Nazi shooting place or whatever over there. There's no din of tfusa. There's only a din of burying the mesim. Over here, no one was properly buried, and because of that, the din of tfusa, which is halacha derabbanan, that is there in terms of kavod hames, doesn't apply, because it's only when you're moving a body that was properly buried. But if there was no proper burial, you're giving the proper burial to whatever remains are left. Hamefane kivro mitoch sadeu. Suppose somebody had a grave in a field. So what happened over here is that there was a washout from a cemetery. This used to happen in Tzfat all the time. And the kvarim would wash out, so they were being malakate the bones in order to rebury them. Malakate etzem v'akol tohor. You don't have to take a tfusa, because basically you don't have a full mace. You bury whatever bones you find, and you don't need to deal. Because again, the Rabbanu were not gozer in this kind of position. They were not gozer that there was any tuma on the soda itself, and therefore there's no need to take the tefusa. How about if you've got a pit, a bore, and it's a bore shematrinin letochu nefalim harugim? It's not on the field, but it's a killing pit. So it would be a pit where you would throw victims of a war, or women would throw stillborns. So over there also, that's not considered to be kfura. Malakit etzem v'akol tohor. If finally they get around to burying these bodies, it's not considered to be a normal kvura. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, look, if the idea was initially to make an open pit, and subsequently there was a commitment to cover it over, but they didn't. But then that is considered to be a kvura. So im hitkino lekever mitchila. If the idea was that they were going to bury these bodies and leave them there and ultimately cover up the pit, so therefore it's a burial pit. So even though it's not a normal burial, but there too, Tainis Rebbe Shimon, it's considered to be a kvura of sorts, and therefore if in the end it is moved, then yesh lo tfusa, and you would have to move away the dirt at the bottom of the pit, or the dirt between the bodies that are in the pit. As I said, these were in the old days when they used to throw people into holes, a very difficult thing to even for us to conceive in these days of Trias Amesim, and you can only wonder how people managed to survive in those days with these kind of horrible halachas. But anyway, Hadran Halach, if Richie is ready. If Richie is ready. Hadran Halach, Kol Ameitim. What? I didn't say it yet. Okay, fine. Many times. I will start tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, in our next parak. Chodesh tov u'mevorach, b'surot tovot, gula shlema, and yimached imam yakov panim, very, very soon. Ah, yes, thank you very much. So anybody who wants to drop me a line about any kimcha lepischa that you'd like to start collecting, even though you're not supposed to be matriach on the tzibur so many times, but I know that people bedafka want to give kimcha lepischa. So if you're interested, please drop me a line, WhatsApp, and I'll take care of it for you. Bezrat Hashem. Bye, everyone.